Actually, we're delighted to be able to share some personal reflections. But before we do that, I'm going to do the dirty work, basically, up here, because I'm going to take a few minutes and talk a little bit about what the business sessions were, what was adopted, and then we'll get into the fun stuff, okay? So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to show some slides to tell you a little bit about what the business part of council was about, and then these people will they'll keep you going and give you a better interest. So we had a general council in Columbus, Ohio, which was the 118th council of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And I'm not getting this to advance. I don't know why it doesn't go. Next slide. There it comes. And the main thing is, Dr. Stumbo mentioned, we worked on the statement of faith, and there were a number of articles that had been adopted at the last council that needed to be ratified in order to be fully and finally adopted into the statement of faith. And these were those elements. Looks like I can't get this to go either. Again, Chris. Is this even on? I don't know. Is there a button? Yep, I know it did. So this is Article 10 says there will be a bodily resurrection of all people. Our Lord Jesus Christ will judge with perfect justice as the unrepentant and unbelieving are raised to conscious anguish of eternal separation from God, and repentant believers are raised to the unending joy of eternal life with God. And basically that just cleans up some language and makes it a bit more understandable. And then the next one was Article 5, man and woman created in the image and likeness of God fell through disobedience, incurring both physical and spiritual death. Therefore, everyone is born with a sinful nature, is separated from the life of God, and can be saved only through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And so that was, again, a statement that relates to humanity. The next article, if we can have that, because this isn't running, the church consists of all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are redeemed through his blood, born again by the Holy Spirit. Then it says, Christ is the head of his body, the church, which has been commissioned by him to go into all the world, making disciples of all peoples. So just a couple of additions of words that make clarification. No substantive changes. The next slide also speaks about the church. The local church is a body of believers in Christ who are called to love and join together for the worship of God, for edification through the word of God, for prayer, fellowship, and proclamation of the gospel through word and deed and observance of the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those were articles that were ratified from the last time. They will now be incorporated into our official statement of faith. The next article had to do with what did not actually end up passing. This was one that was supposed to be ratified this time and had passed last council. This is the one on the second coming. And it is worded like this. Second coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, is imminent and will be sudden, personal, visible, and premillennial. This is the believer's blessed hope and is a vital truth which calls us to holy living, intentional witness, and faithful service. Now, that particular article wasn't really a main issue except for one word, and that word is premillennial. And it's been in our statement of faith for a long time. At the same time, those of you who are sort of theologically inclined will understand that there are a lot of Bible-believing Christians who differ over that issue of premillennialism. And it has prevented a number of people from serving as official workers in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So there has been sort of a growing desire not to have that word in the statement of faith. But there is a large number of Alliance people who really believe that's our history and heritage. So last time at council, in addition to that article passing, they added a preamble, which is begins the next slide. Because we discovered that Albert Benjamin Simpson, our founder, in the original constitution of the Christian Alliance, basically while adopting premillennialism as its position, nevertheless had a statement in there saying, we're not going to divide over this issue with respect to service. And so the next slide expresses that. This is essentially his statement that was included in that original constitution. or at least the paraphrase of it. And part of that says the alliance is not intended to be sectarian in a way that would divide it from the broader body of evangelical churches. Rather, it is the intent of the alliance to fellowship and partner with all Christians, churches, and denominations who, like us, cling to the faith that was once for all delivered, entrusted to the saints. Then the next slide says, we understand that some will desire to be members and official workers in the alliance who are in agreement with our mission and our doctrinal principles, with the exception that they may not fully embrace the doctrine of the premillennial return of Jesus Christ. Such people may be received into membership and licensed for ministry. And then it goes on to basically say, long as they think about it. Okay. So basically that basically passed last time, and it did not pass this time. I think it got about 60, low 60s. You have to hit two-thirds in order to pass it. And pretty much the main reason was that why would you have a preamble for one article that is three times as long as any one article and included in the statement of faith? Can't we do this a little bit differently? And so basically they sent it back to the drawing board. And maybe there's a way to keep premillennial in the statement and then through legislation provide an opportunity through the governing documents of the church, of church ministries, to include people who might have valid reasons to not adopt premillennialism. So that goes back to the drawing board, and we'll see where that comes out. And that's the only one that really didn't pass. The next part of the statement of faith are articles which were adopted for the first time. One article, actually. So the next one. I'm sorry, I had to go backwards. Now it works. Okay, let's go back. This one, statement of faith adopted. Here it is. This is the one on sanctification, which did not pass the last time, and they've really refreshed it, and it was overwhelmingly adopted this time. It'll need to be ratified at the next council. It's the will of God that through Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, each believer should be sanctified holy, filled with the Holy Spirit, separated from sin, and fully dedicated to God, thereby receiving powerful holy living and effective service. This is both a decisive point of complete surrender and a progressive experience through which Christ is formed in the life of the believer by the Holy Spirit following conversion. That's a really great, clear statement of the doctrine of sanctification. And that was, I think, overwhelmingly adopted this time, and I think it'll probably sail through. A few other pieces of business that took place very quickly. Revisions to some of the presidential elections got rid of proxy voting and then eliminated the time frame that online people could vote, so they have to vote at the same time general counsel does if they happen to be online. They clarified the floor nomination process for presidential elections, and they also determined, put in the documents, the bylaws, that officers and nominees for offices in the Christian and Missionary Alliance had to express affirmation of the statement of faith and all the CMA policies that are in the manual. And then it also clarified the process for removal of a district superintendent when it wasn't for moral reasons. They passed the 2-year budget for the Great Commission Fund, and of course, as you've already heard, they elected the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance for the next term, John Stumbo having concluded his term. So Jonathan Schaefer, as you saw, will be the new president, and then they also elected members of the board of directors and some other officers. That's the fast version of 5 days of business sessions. So that's the hard stuff, and now I'm going to let people tell you the more fun stuff. And the first fun stuff that I want to begin with, I want to start with Jerry Nanfelt. And the reason I want to start with Jerry Nanfelt is because Peter had some significant roles in this council, and I want Jerry to tell us about it. So, yeah, it's on. Should be on.
Hello. Yes, we went to council this year, and it was wonderful. We were invited to go so that Peter, who had been a past president, could be part of the celebration for the new president. And so the Lord gave us health and strength to go. We've not been to council for a few years, is a very a hard time to get through that week, strength-wise. So, but this time we did, and it was just wonderful to be there. We looked at each other and we said, how can it be when we got that invitation that it's been 20 years since Peter addressed a council gathering? How did we get this old? So on Friday, during the week, of course, we did all the things that we could do. We spent a lot of time with pastors and missionaries and young pastors and missionaries that actually were in junior high when we would go to council before, so we didn't know them, but a lot of older people that we knew too. And it was just a great time of fellowship, and both of us were just delighted to be there. So Friday was the big day for Peter. He had to talk about John Stumbo in the morning farewell that they were given to John. And since Peter knew him and had actually brought him into the national office years before as a vice president, and respected him and loved him and followed through with him in his ministry, it was a very easy thing for Peter to do, to talk about John and his ministry with the Alliance. So he gave a little talk there, and I know I'm his wife, but I have to tell you, it's very good.
She's right, it was good.
I may be a little biased. Peter also gave the prayer of dedication for the new president, Jonathan Schaefer, who he knew very well also, at the installation service that night. And so there was one other former president that was there that's still living. There were only two of them. And Gary Benedict, Jonathan. And then Peter prayed the prayer of dedication for him, which was such an honor to know this fine young man has become our president. I can't say enough about being there. It was just a wonderful week for us after 50-some years of ministry with the CMA.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to come back to Peter a little bit later. We had three members of our entourage who were appointed as lay delegates from the Village Church, and they include Barb Drake, Karen Ricks, and Jean. And I'm going to ask Karen to share a little bit, because this was your first council. This is the Village Church is your first Alliance Church that you have been involved in. And so I'm wondering about your first impressions of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and maybe some notable things that you will take away from it, things that you might have learned. And so tell us what occurs to you most about council as your first experience with the Alliance.
I think there.
There he goes. Yeah.
Hello.
They all should probably be on.
Yeah, really. And I think the first thing that was so notable to me, because it's in my personality, is how well this was planned. And, I mean, everything seemed to run smoothly. It was the largest auditorium that I've ever been in and seen people. I mean, I walked in and first and just... And so to see people that I knew, especially Tim and Marilyn Westergren, the several times that I saw her, I just called her curly hair. She was looking vibrant. And to see these guys that we didn't plan on sitting with or anything, I went for two reasons. I asked to go for two reasons. And that was, I didn't know anything about polity of a denomination. I had been in Methodist and Presbyterian churches, but just didn't know this part of how it operated. And I wanted to know that if I was going to be here the rest of my life, which could be a while. And so.
Lord willing.
Yes. And the second reason was I had seen, Karen when she, Solomon, when she went to her first, council and was sitting in a group like this. And I thought, well, that's, you know, she went. Mm-hmm. And I saw you on TV or some of the replays 2 years ago. And I thought that you were so professional in the way that you handled things as they came up. And I wanted to see that. And that's when I started sitting right down front. It was amazing to me. And those were my two reasons of going. So I did learn about the polity. I learned, I observed, excellence. And thank you.
Mm-hmm, thank you. Now I'm going to go back to some of our more professional staff. I'm going to talk to Garth now, because Garth's been to many councils, been in the Christian and Missionary Alliance quite a number of years. So you're like Karen, this was her first, but this is not your first. But as a chaplain, because that's sort of been a more recent part of your development as a pastor, you had some chaplain activities that took place, and there's the presence of chaplains. Was significant at council. There are different kinds of chaplains, so maybe you can educate us a little bit about the chaplaincy ministries in the Alliance and what kinds of things that you were involved in and what your impressions were.
All right, well, before I get to the chaplain part, I just have to say this, piggybacking what you were saying about excellence, etc. I was seated one of the afternoons in front of a couple of young guys from Simpson University. They were marveling over the way Pastor Andy was managing the whole thing. And they were gushing. They were gushing over it. I was just like, really? This is business. And they said, we hope he never retires from it. So I came away with the impression that you have a fan club. It really was a delight to be there, to experience. It had been a number of years since I'd been to a council. Mm-hmm. Probably felt a little jealousy as I watched the missionaries walk around, because my last council, my General Assembly in Canada, when we were still up there, was as missionaries doing the missionary parade. And that was spectacular. Mm-hmm. To see all those folks marching around and see my Venezuelan flag, and I wasn't carrying it. That was a little bit gut-wrenching. But that was a delight. And then to participate in two activities, two luncheons with four chaplains, and to be seated in a room full of men and women who love God and love people and dedicate themselves to ministering to people, ministering the love of Christ to people in a variety of settings. Quite honestly, I felt a little naked, because most everybody there was wearing a military uniform. And I felt a little out of it, because I couldn't wear mine. But I did get to wear my chaplain shirt, so that was all right. But it was amazing to sit with these men and women in uniform, to hear their stories, their involvement around the world, their engagement in people's lives around the world, their passion for Jesus being a part of the lives of the men and women that they serve. Was, I don't know why, but it was unexpected for me to hear that. But it warmed my heart. It was a delight to hear that. So we have, I think there's 94 military chaplains that serve around the world and here at home. I didn't know we had that many chaplains, military chaplains, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and I'm missing one. Marines, no, there's another one I'm missing. Well, yeah, Marine Corps piggybacks off of the Navy. Space Force. There was a Space Force chaplain. Yeah, there's one other group I'm missing. Anyways, to see them all in their uniforms and hear their stories and their love for Jesus, that was phenomenal. We have federal chaplains who serve in the VA system. And again, the love of Jesus that they demonstrate as they take care of the men and women who serve, who have been injured, who have all kinds of issues going on, young or all the way up to later on in life. That was phenomenal to hear them. We have chaplains serving in hospitals. We have chaplains serving in federal prisons. We have chaplains serving in hospice care. Chaplains, not too many chaplains serving in my setting, in long-term care like this. But we have a broad spectrum of chaplain ministry and growing chaplain ministry, not just in the military, but beyond. It's growing, and it's not just a mainline thing anymore. The evangelicals are getting in there, and we want to be present. We want to share Jesus in all the settings that we possibly can. So it was encouraging. It was enriching just to sense that passion and be a part of what God is doing in and through chaplain ministries.
Yep. Thank you. I'll go back to our lay delegates and Barb. Barb was the only one of this whole group who had the courage to drive herself, which you did by yourself on the way up. Tell us a little bit about that. How did that work out?
Is this on? Yeah. Well, when I was making plans to go to council, I said to myself, well, this I can do. I can drive. I used to drive all the time, so I can drive and do this. And everyone knew that I should not drive by myself except me. And so the first thing I learned was I was too old. I was telling myself, I want to do this before I'm too old. But the first thing I learned when I was too old. But thank you for your prayers. A lot of people were praying. And one of your prayers that was answered is Karen Formica drove back with me.
Yeah.
And
that's
so she gave up a four-hour plane ride back to Fort Myers, where 24 hours later we drove into Shell Point.
Bless her heart.
But she was precious to do that for us. That
now, you've been to other councils before, but probably not recently. What were your impressions of this one, and what were your most significant, memorable moments?
This one, I have been to other councils, quite a few, but this one seemed to bring John Stumbo, our president now, to what he wanted, and God answered his prayers to see all nations, all people, languages, and tribes all together. Is why he moved from Colorado and to the Columbus, Ohio area. Mm-hmm. And they were there at at this council. It was just so thrilling to see young people, young families from every language group, every people group. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that rewarded him for his giving his life as the president.
Yeah. The Alliance is really one of the most diverse denominations in the United States today, and I think that was reflected in the constituents at council, and I think the video demonstrated that as well. Thank you, Barb. Don, we love to go to council because we see a lot of people and some significant interactions we've had. So what were some of the people that you saw and had some meaningful opportunities to engage in as you went to council this time?
One thing we're thankful for at General Council, which is exactly the same here at the Village Church, is that we have name tags. But the name tags at General Council were about three times the size of this one right here. So you could be a little bit of a distance and, oh, there's the name that you're trying to think of the person that's walking up to you, which included for me a husband and wife who 35 years ago were a part of the first church that we served in Princeton, New Jersey. And Dan and Bonnie worked on the staff as a secretary, and her husband wasn't even in the ministry at the time. And here, 35 years later, their family has grown, and they both have been in ministry. But just to see people that you haven't seen for a significant number of time, significant number of years was pretty amazing. And then having served in a couple of other districts, it's always great to see people that we've rubbed shoulders with in ministry. including a fellow that was on the first trip that I took to Africa back in 2007, who was a Cambodian pastor at the time, who's now the head of the Alliance Church in Cambodia. So it's a wonderful opportunity to see people that you haven't seen for a long time.
Yeah, right. I'm going to piggyback off of that and go to Jean, because the question I want to ask you has to do with people also. You're a people person. We had some significant opportunities to connect with some people that I think echo some of the things that Don shared. Will you share with some of those things, some of those people?
Sure. Am I on?
You're on.
Okay. Well, before I do that, I actually also would like to say it was such a joy having Peter and Jerry there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, since Andy and I first came to the Alliance in, like, the early 80s, and so we've known Peter and Jerry off and on, it was just such a delight to be able to see them, be able to participate in that. And Peter did do a very good job. He did. I can attest to that. And actually, Peter was actually a very good advertisement for Shell Point, because he spoke of us many times. Yeah. All right. I did have some notes and I've lost them. we did have the privilege of seeing, and we've seen them off and on from over the years, but a couple of young, well, they're not really young men anymore, but when we were in Morgan
compared to us,
yes, there was there's a young man named Andy Smith, and he was in the college at the time. He was in our college ministry. His wife had grown up in Morgantown. They were married. They were part of our church there and our ministry, and he eventually took over the college pastorship when Andy, we were trying to get somebody full time to do that. And of course, I remember his wife and some of the other ladies, we would have Bible study together in our home, and I remember their first little boy climbing over our climbing over like our fireplace, etc., worrying about if he'd get hurt or not. Well, they have four sons, and a couple of them, one of them has already graduated from college, has a job. The other one's in college, and one's in high school looking at college. And we were able to have lunch with him one day, just him. She was still teaching. And just to share again, not that we haven't seen him occasionally over the years, but to share that time together to see where his family has grown and to be able to talk about his ministry.
Yeah, and he's now a senior pastor of a multi-staff church in Ohio.
In Ohio.
In the district we were before. Yeah. So that was a special privilege to be
so
able to
see.
So
in a way,
him.
They were sort of our little babies in a way. And it's just delightful to see their ministry and how it's grown and their family, all walking with the Lord. Another fellow by the name of Roy Baker, who is now the senior pastor at the Alliance Church in Morgantown, who actually, again, came as a college student. Ended up in our college ministry a little bit, but was involved with Campus Crusade. He eventually came back to Morgantown and was the executive director of Campus Crusade on our campus there. But he and his wife both took part in our church as church members, serving all the time. He would bring some of his students to Andy's Alliance Bible Study Center on Monday nights. Very supportive. Eventually, I think we talked him into finally taking that position and leaving Crusade, which he had been in for many, many years. And then after we left a few times, we, anyway, he's the senior pastor now. And so we got to have dinner with him one time, and we got to have Don and Garth with us. And so that was very cool. One day, impromptu, Alicia and Randy Clark, I found them in sitting on a couch, and the lunch was very busy. And I said, well, come on, we already have a table. So they joined us, and they have fond memories of their time here. They are officially now retired and finally back in their home in Pennsylvania, probably not that far from where Tim and Marianne are. I mean, yep. Across the river or something like that. And actually, she still has some contact with one of the ladies here that she was sharing Christ with while she was here. Mm-hmm. And so that was really fun. We already talked about Peter and Jerry. I think one day I probably ran into Bonnie Palmquist's daughter there. I think one of your daughters it was, Jen, but I was lost in the bottom of something trying to find, the Aaron Schutz, seminar that I was going to, and I just turned around and almost ran into her and didn't have time to talk, but I did see her. We had Shell Point, our group here. I felt it was quite a feat for me to get everybody together and a reservation for lunch. And we did that because it's kind of hard to do that with Andy's schedule. So we were able to have lunch together one day in one of the hotel lunches there. And it was just a joy to be together, wasn't it? Yep. So it's hard to do that because you're coming and going all over the place. The missions parade is always, as you have said, is just grand. I mean, it's just grand, and you just cry. I do anyway, because it just is all the peoples of the world, and it's really neat. Also, Tim Meyer, who is one of the vice presidents now on the, we actually knew him because we knew his parents, but he was up in Beulah Beach in Ohio as one of the teens there when our kids were actually going sometimes to camp there. And it's just, again, we've had him here, but again, to see him on council up there, so articulate and so in love with people, so in love with the world. And I think he kind of started out in one of the first Envision programs in France. So I think that's my thing.
Okay.
And of course, yes, I'm very proud of my husband, and he is a rock star there. He does.
So you every business session, you sat on the front row or the second row, making sure that I didn't screw something up, right? Is that
pretty much
what it was?
Just praying for you and hoping everything was well. You know, wringing my hands sometimes when I thought people were talking too much and they just needed to sit down and let us vote, you know.
So, Andy, anyway. Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
People were saying what a wonderful job you did to us all week. And every time we'd say, that's our pastor. That's our pastor. And if you think he's a good moderator, you should hear him preach.
Oh, my.
That's all right. We're not going anywhere else.
Yeah, no. Okay, one more. Let's go to Peter. Back to Peter, finally, because so here you are. You were president of the Christian Missionary Alliance. You know, you hold the list. I mean, you were the four presidents ago now, right? Because you have Jonathan. So tell us what your impressions are of the current state of the Christian and Missionary Alliance here in 2025, which is, I don't know how many years after you were president. Tell us what your impressions are of where we have been and what the current direction is and your assessment of it.
Okay, I'll be glad to do that. I wrote down a couple of things so I could remember. But I would like to take just a minute to tell you one of the most moving things for me. When I left Indonesia, when we left Indonesia in 1979 to come back to the national office, my first job was as a regional director. And that was for the East Asia Pacific Island region. And I would leave each fall and each spring for a 8 to 10 week trip to visit all the countries out there, which included Japan, Korea, Hong Kong, China, Malaysia, Philippines, Indonesia, including what was then Irian Jaya. So I visited all these missionaries a couple of times each year, and one of the fun things was running into missionaries that were just arriving. And, you know, all of the issues they face of learning a language and getting settled and having babies and all this kind of stuff happening at once. And now at council, I met these same people that I met in the early 80s, retiring. And they had served for 40 or 45 years in tough places, like Japan, very difficult, like China, very tough. And they stuck it out for 40 or 45 years. I was so moved to see them because I had met them when they first arrived and went through the struggles with them, and they stuck it out. Yeah. Boy, that was a powerful message to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, look, I'm reflecting on the CNMA now, and I left the national office 20 years ago, actually. But going back to council and visiting that and witnessing what was going on there, I was really impressed. I mean, the Alliance has been going for almost 140 years, and yet I see no indication of any theological drift, and not that can't be said of very many denominations that have been operating as long as we have. The focus is still on Jesus. Jesus uplifted constantly. The international, intercross-cultural or multicultural nature of our church is the way the church is supposed to be. That's the church that was born in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and people heard the gospel in their own language and went to countries all over the place proclaiming the message. That's what Jesus intended, that it would be from every tribe and nation and language, and that's really what characterizes our church now. And I witnessed also very capable, godly leadership. Those of you who have met John Stumbo know that he's given us wonderful leadership the last 12 years, and Jonathan Schaefer is just a man of God. His heritage is unbelievable. Coming from a godly man, godly pastor, he has 8 siblings, all of whom are in ministry. And he comes from good stock, just put it that way. And he's a wonderful leader. And financial integrity of our denomination, I noted it again. I remember back in the years when I was at the office, we slaved for hours over budgets and how we can stretch this dollar and stretch that dollar. And I know that that sort of thing goes on now, and financial integrity is very important. And people are just joyful and happy. 3,000 people there, I didn't meet one that was griping, complaining, arguing, or whatever. Everybody was joyful. And I think that's the spirit of most of the people in our churches, like our church here, a joyful congregation. And that's a good sign, I think.
Amen.
So I'm very hopeful about CMA in the future. I'm biased, I suppose, but I think it's true.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter. Now we're going to do a lightning round. One significant memory from council. We'll start down with Don, go right down the list. Give us one brief memory, a memorable moment, significant moment that made council special for you.
When we gather on Sunday morning, it's easy to think about us and easy to think that our denomination looks like us. But the reality is, in the United States, the round figure would be 400,000 Alliance people are gathering to worship God on Sunday morning. Over in the country of Vietnam, and we have some Vietnam international workers that are part of our community, John Bechtel and Victor and Dixie Oliver and Woody and Char Stemple. In Vietnam on Sunday morning, there'll be 1.1 million people gathering under the flag of the Christian Missionary Alliance worshiping God. That's what God can do.
And I'm so very thankful that God saved me and put me in the Alliance movement, because we are global. And Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And he was global, and the Bible's global. And our church, the Village Church, is global. And thank you, Pastor, for keeping missions before us. Thank you to the Missions Committee for keeping missions before us. Mm-hmm. And we can just thank God for getting the Great Commission done. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Pure.
At Council, I was hit with the idea of the love that was there. If you want to go to a place where there's love, you attend our council, because it's a place that you can love and you will be loved. It just was a wonderful experience with the world the way it is today.
One shocking experience for me was how we voted. Back in the day, when something had to be decided, people raised their hands, and the moderator would say, well, I'm not quite sure. So everybody stand up who's for it and stand up who's against it. We voted electronically. I suppose you know that. Everybody had a little gizmo in their hand, and it took about 15 seconds, and the vote was declared. It was amazing. Surprise me. I don't know if it surprised anybody else.
Yeah. Yep. Good. Garth?
I think for me, the focus of the whole week is, we are his. And the focus on Jesus and that one particular service with Dr. Galbraith who spoke. Mm-hmm. And just that whole focus on Jesus and his statement, I just want people to see Jesus. I think that said it all for me. The whole focus of the week was Jesus and our desire as a denomination, as individuals, in whatever our ministries, that people would see Jesus in us and through us. That was for me the highlight.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Karen?
I have two things. I ran into a couple. They said they were from the Omaha church, except I can't remember the name of it. And I said, well, oh, we have the Scotts at our church. Do you know them? And it turned out that they were their best friends of Michael and Marcia, the bishops. And so just out of all these people, you know, hi, I'm Karen, you know. The second thing was there were so many families with kids that were all the way, and nobody was prohibited from any place. They had rooms for the kids to go to, but we had, you saw in the video, a little somebody at the chair while we were, I don't know, worshiping. But the families that were there and went through all this, and that just really impressed me. Besides the age difference, the worldwide difference, but the families that were there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you.
That's a tough question. But you just reminded me of families. Well, one of the sending off of John and celebrating John Stumbo and then the bringing on of Jonathan Schaefer, what they did was just very beautiful, very meaningful. Again, some about them personally, but very God-honoring. And that was very, very special. And then another moment, one during that morning, they had brought in some people, all of the John's family, multiple aunts, uncles, nieces, yeah, and nephews, and his aunt sat and played. They brought in a musician, I can't remember his name, but
Russ Taff
had been with the Gaither people and all kind of stuff. And he sang Day by Day. But then the family sang with the aunt, and she was just on keyboard Day by Day, and with each passing moment, Strength I Find. You know the song probably. And then also Great is Thy Faithfulness. Well, for me personally, that was a real worship moment. I mean, we have a lot of contemporary music there. There's a lot of loud music. That was some moments of more quiet, and that very much touched me, and of course, I cried. Wednesday night we had communion service and prayer and anointing and individuals there who were pastors or pastors' wives. And Andy and I happened to be sitting behind a mom and about four children she had. And Andy and I actually asked for prayer because of some physical things that we're dealing with. And you know that mom stood up and with her children, her young children, she said, let us pray for you. And so here she had her kids there. She anointed Andy and I, and they prayed. The children prayed. And I thought, my goodness, how lovely that mom was bringing her kids up.
Yeah.
That was special.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. You've been a wonderfully patient audience, and I trust that it's been insightful for you and encouraging. I guess one of my moments that as somebody who's moderating business, the election of the president was probably a real blessing to me because it was the most, I think, God-honoring and encouraging and least contentious election that I can remember, because both candidates who were on the ballot knew each other, liked each other, loved each other, respected each other, spoke well of each other, and either one would have been just fine in the roles that they shared. And so I think there was a wonderful camaraderie, and both of them really did affirm the direction of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and I think we'll continue some of the things that have been engaged in the past. And so I think that part of it was very encouraging for somebody who's moderating business and wants to see it go well.